Welcome to the Third Realm Integration Podcast, where our unconscious minds meet and the transformation begins. I am your host, Megan Kenny. Let's get started. Welcome, everybody. We're back for another episode. What is crack-a-lackin' out there, y'all? How are we doing out there in the airwaves? I'm feeling pulled to talk about something about the unconscious mind that you never hear about, that I only heard and learned this from my teacher. And I think this is a really important piece to keep in mind. Really important thing to know around why it's not helpful in the long run or in the short term to defend against being vulnerable, and why vulnerability is actually a superpower when it's used in the right way. So the unconscious mind is its own entity. It has its own state of consciousness as it works in an unconscious way, if that makes any sense. So it's doing its own thing, and it runs our life. And it is what creates the pain and suffering that we encounter for the most part. I mean, the conscious mind, it's not really the conscious mind, though, that creates the suffering. No, it's the unconscious interplay between the ego and the unconscious parts of the ego, and then whatever else lives beneath the surface. That is what creates the pain and suffering. So as the unconscious mind rules your life, it creates pain. It creates experiences of pain. And so I want you to think about it like Star Trek episodes, or Star Trek episodes, or any time in which you've seen those robotic doors of a spaceship, slide open and then slide close, like the Jetsons, maybe the Jetsons actually had this door on their little spaceship or wherever they lived. And as they went into the next room, it's an automatic door. It slides open and slides closed. And it's got this weird shape in the middle where the two pieces just lock together and they seal shut. Think about it as your unconscious mind being an entity where that doorway is at the threshold of your unconscious mind, and that it opens when you don't even provide conscious consent for that door to open. And as soon as it opens, it means the outside world now has access to all of your wounds. And at that point, your wounds can then be exploited. So you are in a vulnerable state, but because it's done unconsciously, you lose all your power. And that's when pain and suffering takes shape in your life. So this is how it unfolds. This is how it plays out. When you show up to whatever it is that you're doing in your real physical life, you show up to a meeting, you show up to a therapy session, you show up to a birthday party, you show up to a friend's house, you go to an event, whatever it is. If you're showing up hiding something, or coming in with anxiety or any fear at all that you are resisting against and trying to protect because you don't want it to be seen, what you're actually doing is you're allowing that door of the unconscious mind to just go shoop, and the pathway is now wide open. And you cannot stop anybody outside of that unconscious mind from reaching inside with their own energy and gaining access to your biggest vulnerabilities that can then be exploited, which then causes you pain. So while everybody around you might not be conscious of the fact that they've now just gained access to your secrets, it is felt in them on an unconscious level. So now we have an interplay between your unconscious mind that is just opened and everybody else's unconscious mind, which is now just accessed. And nobody even knows what's going on. That's when somebody else's unconscious mind can come in and hook you, which is then going to cause you pain. And this is fate. This is when I say life doesn't happen to you, it happens with you. The experience of life happens to you is when this process starts to unfold. So when you go into a situation and you're defending against being vulnerable and you're not taking the reins over your own life and stepping into the leadership role to hold that vulnerability and carry that suffering consciously, you now open up yourself to be psychologically raped by everybody and everything beyond you. So we think that we're protecting ourselves. This is why the ego is such an illusion. We think it's protecting us. We think we're protecting ourselves when we operate from the fears of the ego. But really what we're doing is giving access to our deepest, deepest, deepest pockets of pain to everybody and everything else. And now there's an interplay. So now everybody's in that third space, but it's not the third realm of the healing space because nobody's conscious about what's going on until you meet somebody that knows how this plays out and that it is playing out in real time. That then can potentially shift you into the third realm where the healing can actually happen. Because at that point, there's an invitation from the person who is safely holding the space and willing to actually take you through the work to step into the third realm and do the deeper work where you safely express your vulnerability and then you safely hold it. So when you go into your own vulnerability using your conscious mind and your own free will, you transform that vulnerability from being a liability to the biggest asset that you can possibly construct. And that's when it turns into your superpower. That's why doing the vulnerability work is so crucial, because that's how you take your power back. You're not giving your access to your unconscious mind and your wounds to everybody else who hasn't even asked for that job. You've taken that responsibility on yourself. And that's when it transforms. And that's when you stop getting hurt and traumatized by the world and the people in it. You have to be the leader of your own life in order to make this happen. And if you're not willing to do that, you will continue to be a victim of fate. And once you get access to the information that I'm delivering here, and you still don't do it, you still don't make the changes, you still allow yourself to be small, you still stay in the fear, and you still don't step in, you still resist the opportunity and the invitation here to step into your vulnerability and hold it consciously through radical self-responsibility, that's when the question now shifts. The question is no longer, what can I do about this problem? How can I fix this? No, the problem then becomes, how is staying the victim serving you? There's something else that you fear on the other side. And it's probably your own power and the idea of responsibility, which means you probably have some deep dependency patterns going on there. And that's where the blame comes in. When we like to blame everybody else for how everything's going wrong in our lives and why we didn't get to where we wanted to be in life, and we're rageful about everybody around us who was able to just, not step up to the plate and live their life in chaos and dysfunction and being erratic, that means we're dependent. We're dependent on the suffering of other people to keep our rage going, which we've now become addicted to. To keep our suffering going, our victimhood going, which is now what we're dependent on. So when you walk around life unconscious, you are an open wound. And that's why turning towards yourself and doing the deeper work to actually excavate your own wounds and tend to them is a superpower, because you're now leading the charge on how you access your own vulnerability. You're not unconscious to it, which then makes it a liability, because then you're giving it to everybody else to have access to. and they didn't ask for that job. They're not conscious enough to handle that responsibility. And then that's when it starts to get real messy. So I want you to think about every time you showing up to a situation in which you are still unconscious about your own shadow. That's when you should be frightened. That's when you should be the most uncomfortable. When you feel the most comfortable and you haven't done like the real deep work to actually finally get to a place where you know that that comfort is really where everything is on the up and up. And you instead haven't done that work, but you find yourself playing it safe and that feels comfortable, you should know that you're in the most danger in that moment than any other point. That's when people can see right through you. And most people that are seeing right through you, one, don't know that that's what's happening. So they're seeing right through you, but they don't even know what they're seeing. But they see something. And if they're conscious about what they're seeing in you, about what you're hiding beneath the surface, they might still not know what to do with that. So that's assuming that they're actually seeing something and that they're conscious of what they're actually seeing. The other part is that even if they're not seeing anything in you, they're feeling the level of discomfort inside their own body as they sit with you, and then they're going to react to that. Because they're unconscious about their own wounds that you've just triggered because you came into the situation hiding something out of fear. You've triggered that other person. And because now that discomfort has been activated in them, they're probably now going to blame you. Same way you're doing that to everybody else. So then it's just projection, 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 back and forth. All of it's unconscious. That's when relationships get messy. That's when things explode. That's when chaos erupts. And that's when the path towards finding order within really should start. Because it's like, why is this happening? Why? What did I just bring into the situation to create this? And pulling the reins back on your own life, peeling that layer back, peeking behind the veil to look within, to see what are you really hiding? What are you really afraid of? Are you afraid of being seen fully and completely in your vulnerability? Because if so, that's definitely something to look at. So you have to take the focus away from everybody else and everything around you and look within. If you actually want to transform your weakness into a superpower, vulnerability is only a weakness if it remains unconscious. but this is where this comes from. Being vulnerable means I'm being weak. That's only one half of it. There's a whole other side to it that you can become conscious of and then do something different about to step into your full power. But let's face it, the idea of being fully vulnerable and fully seen is just as scary for some people as holding your own power and stepping into that. So you can see why the illusion of the mind is even present in the first place that tells you a lie and says, as long as you don't address this vulnerability, you're safe. It's the exact opposite, though. So this is something that people don't know about. They don't even know this interplay is unfolding unless they've, and not even just done deeper work on their own psyche. You're not going to get this information. You're not even going to get this information in the Jungian space. They talk about it in part about how the process of projection recollection actually happens, of withdrawing your projections. This is what this is all about. This is how you do the projection withdrawal. And it becomes safe to do it and inviting to do it when you do it on your own, in silence, in safety, with nobody else around, through meditation, through hypnosis, and most importantly, when you do it through the heart center, because that's the stabilizing force that allows all of this work to be done in a productive way. But even the Jungian space isn't talking about it like this. This was like a huge nugget, a gold nugget that I got from my teacher when she said, you know, when she first met me, she said the thing that I needed to work on was my anxiety and recognizing the power that I hold when I walk into a room because I was unconscious to it. But everybody else knew it. Everybody else could feel it. But because I was walking in with a natural confidence and power, To have that also simultaneously exist with anxiety and insecurity was a recipe for disaster. Here I am walking in thinking that I'm less than and anxious about it, not knowing that I have this power that I'm holding that is natural, that I really maybe didn't even want, but it's there. And so because I was not conscious of it, walking into the room with power and anxiety makes you a target for being attacked and annihilated. So that explains why all that would have unfolded for me as it did in my life. And then explain why I reacted in the same way to annihilate whoever was trying to annihilate me. And I've talked in previous episodes, or maybe I haven't. But I did a post about it recently on Facebook about how we are carrying all of this stuff and we don't know it because it all lives in our unconscious mind. And there's a good chance that we might actually be bringing it in from a previous lifetime. So all of these fears that we have, sometimes we can't rationalize them with the data that we've collected over this lifetime because it doesn't still really make sense. It's like, but why? Like that happened in my life when I was a child or whatever. Like that had such a big impact. Doesn't really make sense. Everybody else's trauma is so much worse than mine. What's my excuse? It goes way beyond that. It's what's been encoded in your DNA from previous lifetimes. Memories hold an electrical charge that doesn't just leave because our soul jumps into a new body. It's still there. And so it's the memories of the emotional charge that bring us to where we need to. It's either that we need to find neutrality and move out of that emotional charge so we can release painful memories of the past, or we use that emotional charge that does drum up the memory in order for us to access memories from a previous lifetime. So you can use the electrical charge of the memory or experience it in either a higher way or a lower way. The lower vibrational way is to have those memories be of painful events. That's when you want to find neutrality in that emotional charge. You want to release that emotional charge and come right to the middle. So the past no longer owns you. But when you do past life regression work, you actually want to go into the emotional charge of the memory, but you're transcending the memories of this lifetime and you're going into ones of past lifetimes, previous times. But you can't get there if you just always stay in a place of neutrality. So this is where the emotional charge actually becomes productive, because it brings you into memories that you have forgotten, that have been forgotten by the conscious mind and the ego, but are still there and lay dormant. Because the truth is, and I heard somebody say this to me the other day, somebody just brought this up the other day, and I was like, you know what? You're 100% right. If we can begin the process of remembering who we really are at our core and who we've been through many lifetimes, it means we didn't actually forget in the first place. So for all intents and purposes, we didn't actually fully forget, just the conscious mind did. And it's about bringing those memories back up that are going to serve us, because it gives deeper insight and a bigger perspective on why everything is the way that it is. So this is something that is probably the most valuable piece of information that I could possibly give. And this is how you co-create your reality. This is the bigger part of it. You're opening up your unconscious mind with all your pain in it that somebody is naturally going to unconsciously exploit, trigger, and take advantage of if you're not conscious of it. So if you want the world to stop happening to you and you want that perception to be resolved, you've got to step up to the plate and be the leader of your own life. What does leadership mean to you? Who are the leaders around you that you respect and appreciate and listen to? Is there anybody in your life that you listen to? Or do you listen to nobody but yourself? Because that's dangerous. So who do you turn to and look towards for leadership, sound leadership? I mean, think about how, if you know the underpinnings of how the military works, if there's a leader in charge of a group, battalion, a platoon, whatever, I don't know the terminology, but if you have a leader that's weak, and weak I mean afraid, unaware of their own power, and doesn't have that power integrated in a cohesive, still stable way, that leader becomes a liability. And I won't go into the specifics of how that's handled in the military, but it is. Because when that leader becomes a liability, it's triggering so many things in the people that that person is leading through whatever challenge, whatever obstacle. So if that leader is not sound and aware of what's going on in their own unconscious mind, they become a huge liability and a risk to the group, to the tribe, to the pack. You see this in the animal world. As soon as that leader starts to fall, the whole group, the whole pack is now in jeopardy. And so the animal world is in the same way it plays out in the human world. That leader now has to be taken out. That's what the pack starts to think. This leader has to be taken out. And whether that's conscious or unconscious, it doesn't matter. That's how it's going to play out. So that's where you get attacked. That's where you get annihilated. That's where in the animal world you get killed. Because that's too much of a risk. So you have to think about how that plays out in our minds as humans too, as we are animals also. And we are connected to that brainstem of the reptilian brain that does all of this, where the fear lives. So it's a huge piece of information that allows for not only growth and transformation, but safety and security. And for you to really be able to hold the power that lives within you is to become unconscious about how your unconscious mind is operating. So I'm going to leave it there. I'm not going to go too much further because I don't want to get off track here. That's what I came on to say. And yeah, that's a big one. So I'm going to sign off on that one. Give you something to chew on. Think about how you're showing up in the world without even realizing what fears you're bringing with you and then how that's triggering the people around you. That then in turn creates pain and suffering for you. Think about that. And then think about how you are showing up or not showing up as the leader of your own life and what being a leader of your own life actually means to you. I will catch you guys on the flip side and I will reconnect with you in the next episode. May the light always lead your way. Be well, everybody. Third Realm Integration Podcast and related content is intended to provide information and/or entertainment only and is not a substitute for mental health or medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Do not delay mental health or medical consultation or substitute a mental health or medical professional's opinion because of what you heard on this show. Seek the advice of your physician or another qualified health provider with any questions you may have regarding a mental health or medical condition. The host of this podcast does not provide emergency support for mental health or medical issues. For questions or concerns, visit your local emergency room or contact your doctor. Quote from Clarissa Pinkola Estes from the book Women Who Run with the Wolves. There is something waiting for us at the edge of the woods, and it is our fate to meet it.